Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. And welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Prophetess Valerie Dorrell, and we are excited. We've had as our guest this entire month, Minister Prophetess Ebony Lewis. Ebony, thank you so much for being with us again this evening.
Thank you so much, Prophetess Valerie Burwell. I appreciate all of those wonderful accolades that come with a lot of preparedness.
Amen.
No, I believe God is doing a new work. So I'll say amen. He's definitely doing the work.
Yeah, he is. And you know, the word tells us to call things to be not as though they were, and that the word tells us to speak life to situations. And so I just have to call it like I see it. Amen.
Yes,
I just
ma'am.
Have to call it
yes,
like I
ma'am.
See it.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad. I'm so glad. I'm honored to be here. To speak with you, to help everyone have a great understanding, a better understanding of relationships. I'm teaching myself, like I said before, I'm teaching myself so much. And God has just really been speaking to me, and through my daily life, he has been checking me. Like, didn't you just talk about this? Didn't you just talk about that? And so I appreciate these Wednesday moments, these notes from February, these love notes from God, these relationship talks. I am really enjoying this. So thank you.
Amen. You are so welcome. Yeah, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. So what has the Spirit laid upon your heart to share with us on tonight? I'm excited.
Well, God just, well, a while back when you first gave me this assignment, he kind of gave me every week all at once. And I was like, okay, Lord. So the fourth week was the strength, the courage to love again. Besides all the other things that we learned about, there is so much hopelessness in the world today. And I just wanted to take the time out to encourage everyone to stay encouraged, even if you have to encourage yourself to remain hopeful, to remain prayerful, to remain steadfast in your relationship goals, to remain guarded and to remain girded up, to remain armored in the word of by what the word of the Lord has professed over our lives about who we are and whose we are, just to reinforce and to recalibrate men and women's faith in love, because we're living in a day and age where traumatic events are just the norm. Every day we turn on the news, there's something going on. I work with a population of males who have been recently discharged from prison institutions, and you would not believe the trainings that we receive on how to treat males with past trauma. And it's usually not just in this population, but if you can imagine, it's in this population. It's even greater all over the world, in males and females, the relational trauma. And you can imagine when I say relational, I mean person to person. I mean,
sure.
Without getting too graphic, the sexual traumas, the assaults, and things like that. There is just so much, so much that we have standing in the way, so many things that we have to overcome, so many insecurities, so many hurts, so many faults that we have to overcome. And so I just wanted to take this night out to encourage every heart that might be listening tonight that there is hope. there is forgiveness. There is whatever you need to continue in your love walk, to continue in a relationship walk, first with God, and let him allow him to heal you, and then relationally in your community and with your spouses. And some of the notes that I wrote down is that there is love after loss. There's love after failed marriages. There's love after failed mentorships. There's love after church hurt. There's love after the death of a loved one. There's love after the death of a spouse. There's love after insecurities, after abuses. There's love after abortion. There's love after unforgiveness. There's love after bitterness. There's love after traumatic events. There is no failure in God. There are only opportunities to trust him more. And I love that. I learned that last night at Bible study. And the Bible says that there is no failure in God. And if we be in Christ, then we're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. So with that renewal and that baptism into a greater faith, we can rest assured that the old things in our life, the old things in our relationship, the old traumatic events can be redeemed, and we can find a new life. We can find newness of life in Christ Jesus, and we can allow him to make us a more receptive, a more person to love. Jesus paid the ultimate price because he loved us. Ultimately, he paid the ultimate price because he loved us. And the point that I want listeners to be able to grasp is the intensity, the capacity. If you can just imagine all that it takes with every fiber of your being to take the thing you love most and then send it away from you into a different realm, offer it to unruly, misbehaving, misguided, sin-filled people to let them mistreat it, to misunderstand it, to allow them to ultimately murder unjustly that thing, that person. That is what God did. That was his picture of love for us, to take his most prized possession and offer it to be slain. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around that. I'm trying to think, if I love something that much, to give it as a sacrifice, and because I love something else, I don't know if I have anything in my life that will be that worthy. And so to just try to imagine what God did for us in the name of love is so overwhelmingly great. So if he loved us that much, and if he wanted us around that much, if he wanted our affection and our attention that much, then it would be foolish of us to think that those things I listed above would separate us from his love. It would be foolish for us to think that failed marriages and abortions and unforgiveness and bitterness and traumatic events would be enough to separate us from him. So just allow that to encourage you. Allow that to lift your faith, to build your faith, to build your hope up in a God that will never fail you. He paid a great price to have you around, and not just to have you around, but to grow you up and see you walk into a future that is bright and abundant and that is full of hope. With Christ, there is a new path, a new opportunity, a new life, and it's attainable because of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. It's attainable also through repentance. And repentance is simply means to turn away from. And more of our young people, we know what it's like, or we can know what it's like to be in relationships that we know we're not supposed to be in, or to be involved in things that we know are unfulfilling or not the ultimate goal, like to settle for something, not the ultimate goal of what God is calling us to. But all it takes is a step in a different direction. All it takes is to turn from that thing and to turn to God and to stay on the will, to stay. Another important thing is to stay in the process. After we turn from whatever that thing might be, then you're going to find yourself at a mirror, at a place of repentance. I was just telling a friend of mine, every time a new door opens for me, I find myself at a mirror. I find myself seeing me. I find myself at a process, a new process. Mm-hmm. It gets easier every time, but the initial processes of something is almost hardly never easy. Refocusing, redirecting, especially after something that was gratifying to the flesh, it's almost never easy. But the outcome, your outcome with Christ, your outcome doing things that way, God's way, is so much better. And so after we refocus the mind and recalibrate the spirit through the word of Christ, we start the process. And it hurts sometimes because God is sifting. He's taking out impurities. He's showing you or showing us. He's pulling off branches that are not bearing fruit. He's pruning branches for growth. It gets hard, but it's these times that God proves his love in us. I just got finished. I'm not even finished yet. I'm on a fast with my church. And simultaneously, I am in process at my job for a promotion. I'm also training a new hire at my job. And all of these things, I'm being groomed for leadership at my church. I'm being groomed through these radio sessions. It is a lot going on, but God was showing me something the other day. It was just like I was having issues with my attitude. My patience was wearing thin, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it or even lie about it. But one of my residents that at my job said, Miss Lewis, I'm afraid for you. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I'm afraid that you be nicer. And it was ironic because on my way that morning, I was just praying for myself to be nicer. He had no idea, but I really was, because my patience was growing thin. I'm not eating. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm already wasting away. But through that process of fasting, through that process, fasting is a process, mm-hmm. and it's a sifting process, and it's a mirror process, and God is trying to show you something, and trying to show you, and he's trying to get you to a promise, and he's trying to get you to a place, maybe a deeper relationship, whatever it might be in your personal life. But boy, he was showing me my attitude, because I've been newly empowered, and sometimes when you've been newly empowered, you can start to be a little aggressive and start to smell yourself sometimes, and God was just trying to bring me down a notch. Like, be mindful of the love that I commanded you to walk in. And no matter how much you think you know, how much you've grown, and how many promises I've brought you to, if you're doing this thing without love, you are doing it in vain.
Jesus.
So calm it down, and I'm going to give you all the strength that you need to do the things that I've called you to do. You're not going to faint. You're not going to die. I'm not going to allow you to be weary and well-doing, but everything that I'm going to bring you to, I'm going to walk you through it.
Amen.
And at the end, you're going to come out better. And so in our relationship process, when we're turning from trauma, when we're turning from bitterness, when we're turning from unforgiveness, when we're turning from a failed marriage, turn to God and allow him to allow yourself to look in that mirror. Allow him to put you on the potter's wheel. Allow him to put you in the refiner's fire. It is a painful process. It is a process that hurts. It is a process that causes you to have to forgive yourself of some things and really put your faith and your trust and your hope in God, to lean not to your own understanding, but to acknowledge him from that moment forth and everything you do or say, and allow him to direct your path. Don't forfeit, because what he's trying to bring you to and what he's trying to bring you through, the end of that thing is so worth it. Another thing that hinders us is that we're walking carnally at that point, and we don't have the spiritual eyes to be able to perceive the new thing that God is doing. But when you allow him, just not even through the full process, but just stay on for a little while, and you'll begin to see in your mind's eye the future you, the you that you hadn't seen in a long time. And if you can get to that point, there's hope at that point. There's a glimmer of life at that point that God is trying to get you to. So don't be weary or be afraid in well-doing, because God's plan for us is so great. So stay on the wheel. Stay in the fire. Mm-hmm. Let him refine you. My next one is, don't be afraid. Fear, oh, man, this is another area that I am dealing with. Fear. Fear in every aspect. Fear in my relational life. Fear in my ministry life. Fear of the things to come, the new seasons, fear of moving, fear of failing, fear of all of that. New seasons can be fearful. Mm-hmm. It's natural. Mm-hmm. It's great to just be able to admit that, Lord, I'm afraid.
What the what? I can so identify with that, because for several years I was in that very place, and everybody kept saying, but Val, you're anointed. Oh my God, your gift is so on point. And sometimes we know you're a little stern and a little radical, but you cannot question the anointing that's on your life. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay.
All right.
And they're like, but why are you not moving? And I'm like, God, I'm not fearful of failing, because I can't fail in you. I'm fearful of succeeding, because I don't know what the success is going to do to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And they were like, who has fear of success? I did.
Wow. Yeah.
I had fear of success, because I had been in a mediocre place in so many areas of my life that to be successful to me was like putting on additional pressure, because once I get there, then what do I do to maintain
it?
Certainly understand that. And yeah, so when you relate that to relationships, especially, you know, God, please don't be like me, because Lord knows I've gone through some stuff. But thank you, Jesus, there is deliverance available, and I've been delivered and set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It took me a couple of times, but bless your name, Jesus. I'm there now. Hallelujah.
He will do it. He will do it.
He will do it.
He will
do it.
I know the feeling.
I'm there now. And so in getting and going through that process, that fear process, and now getting to that place, now I look back and I scratch my head and I'm like, what was I thinking? Because I look at all of the opportunities that you possibly overlook and you skirt people off because you don't know what to do with yourself. But I think that's important, Ebony. You know, when we start to feel that fear, that's when we need to back up, because the word tells us that he does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And if we're operating in soundness of mind, even as it relates to our relationship, we should not be fearful. We should then be asking the Holy Spirit to sharpen our discernment so we don't deal with the foolishness in the first place. Go ahead. Lord have mercy.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely right. Coming out of old season, going into a new season, going into this next season, do not fear. Only be strong and very courageous. For I am with you wherever you might go.
Thank you.
That is such a powerful word, especially the end. It says wherever you might go. And I think a lot of times what scares us, what makes us afraid, is that we don't know where God
we might go.
We're trying to follow the cloud. We're trying to follow God, and we can't see. And we can't discern. We don't have all that yet. But he says, I'll be with you wherever you might go. Until he's like our chaperone. Until we're able to see him enough and hear him clearly enough to follow him. He's so merciful, and he's so gracious. He's not far off. He's not this unattainable thing that thing that's constantly out of your reach. No, he wants to be so near and so reachable. He wants to be so attainable that he'll meet you right where you are. His word says that if we make our bed in hell, that he is with us. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I am awestruck and amazed at how attainable he has made himself, and he is making himself, how near he is, and especially to the brokenhearted, is where it says. Especially to those of us who've been wounded, who've been scarred, and who've gone through traumatic events, and whose life has left them hard.
Yeah.
And feeling like it's unable, or you're unable, or it's impossible for you to have healthy relationships again. He is so near to you. You have no idea. And why wouldn't he be when he sent his son to die for that relationship? Those of us who are good, but he wants those of us who are not good, and he's made himself so attainable to us. His thoughts towards us are good, to give us a hope and an expected end. His word says, and I just declare this over whoever is listening and even my own life, that that behold, I do a new thing. Even now it springs forth. And it says, do you not perceive it? Will you not perceive it?
Yes, yes.
That he will make rivers of living water in our desert places, and even clear paths in our wilderness. Like by way of deliverance and by way of process, he is so willing to do an absolute a new thing in our lives to give us a hope, a promise of a future, an abundant life. And an expected end.
An expected end.
Something that we can see coming. No more of that unexpected craziness. So you can walk in your life.
Wow.
And you see you can see your own future. So you know when you're off the beaten path.
Yeah.
But I don't see that. I don't see that in front of me.
Yeah.
So that can't be it.
Yeah. But I think that speaks to something else too. And when you look at the relationships, especially if you've been in bad relationships, you have to set some expectations. I heard him.
Yes.
You have to set some expectations for your future. And I was speaking with a young lady on last night, and she said, I want you to be in prayer with me. She said, but let me be specific because I want God to know exactly what it is I desire. I don't want to have to compromise on the things that I desire, but I'm going to be very specific. And I said, you know what? That's powerful because we have to begin to set expectations for what it is we desire God to do, even in our relationships. Because if I had said, well, God, just give me anybody, anything, then I would have been looking for just anybody, anything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not really what I want. It's not really what I desire. And it's not what he would have for me.
Right.
So I say, God, in this season, give me the man that loves me the way I'm supposed to be loved. Even if I don't understand it, even if it's strange to me, God, give me the
man
that's supposed to love me the way you desire I should be loved. And when he did it, I ain't even know how to act. I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
I did not even know how to act. I was like, what is this?
What is
this?
Talking about that's too good. Wait a minute, back up. I don't know if I'm ready.
What are you doing?
Hold on. You're doing too much.
Yes.
You're doing the most. Pump your brakes.
Yes. So Jesus. I'm grateful. And still have expectation because God is moving. He's moving in our lives in such a way that we're not to be naive any longer about his greatness, not to be naive any longer about his love and his ability to forgive us. And we've got to get to a place where we are able to forgive ourselves and actually begin to move on with life, because life is not going to stop because we had a bump in the road. It's not going to stop. We still have to move in him because he is still there. He's still there. He's still right there.
Forever present.
In the midst of us. Forever present. Amen. Amen. We're down for a couple minutes. God, woo, that went so quick. That went so quick.
Yes, it did.
Just give a couple nuggets. A couple nuggets. Just give one nugget. If you had to speak to somebody who's been in bad relationships and now attempting to move forward in newness, what would you say to them?
I would say commit your ways unto the Lord. Allow him to process you through deliverance, because it's not just for you. My last point was that your deliverance is for your kids. The Bible says that he who's begun a new work is faithful to complete it, even until the day of Christ's coming. That means that after you're dead and gone, the deliverance that God has for us is so deeply rooted into the bloodline that he's going to perfect that thing down to your children, to your children's children, and to your children's children's children. Your deliverance is your heritage, and it's something that you can give for generations to come. So it's so important that we stay on the potter's wheel, that we stay in the hands of the master. He loves us and he cares for us. He will never put more on us than we can bear, and he wants us to experience our best life right now.
Amen. Woo, woo, woo. Yes, Lord. Amen. God. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who have been with us this entire month, we thank you for spending time with us. We thank you, Prophetess Ebony Lewis, for what you've shared. I'm going to keep saying it till amen.
Amen.
Amen. For these relevant nuggets that you've shared with our listening audience this month, it is our prayer here at the Empowerment Place that your territory, even as you've been speaking, is enlarging, that God is opening doors. And I thank God for the testimony of what God is doing. But we're grateful for the doors that he's opening for you and for your ministry. And we just want you to know if there's ever anything that we can do, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
I love you guys so
You're
much.
Welcome.
And I appreciate you.
Amen. Listeners, thank you so much. God bless you. Until next time, be empowered.